Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you. You're going to be glad you did, because I've got Don Lambro on the line. Don's with us. Don is our good friend, longtime member of our Brain Trust, chief political correspondent for the Washington Times, author of the outstanding book, Fat City, which turns out was one of President Reagan's favorite books. And he's our good friend, Don Lambro. Welcome back to the show.
Jim, good morning.
It's good to have you back. And by the way, folks, many of you read his column in the dozens of newspapers that take his column a couple of times a week. I know many of you see his column out there across America and enjoy it very much. Don, thanks for being here. You're right there inside the Beltway. You're in the wacky world of Washington. One of the things I want to talk about before we get into politics, well, actually, it's kind of intertwines with politics, but before we get over into the campaigns directly, I want to get you to talk to us a little bit about your profession. I'm really concerned about the way journalism is going. You know, it seems that more and more journalists wind up tipping their hand one way or the other, which way they lean. Now you're an editorialist. I mean you're a columnist, so you get to write about your opinion. But there's so much reporting that goes on these days that is partisan. And if it's partisan, Don, is that really reporting or is that editorializing?
Well, I think there's a little bit of both in that. It's out of balance, I think, to some degree. You know, it's the old thread that winds itself through journalism, and I guess always has, is that bad news sells, and
yeah,
good news doesn't sell.
10,000 planes landed safely is not news. Is that what you're saying?
It is not. You know, and you see reported overwhelmingly. You know, I'm also a reporter besides being writing a column, and which I think my column does really a lot of reporting as well as give some opinions. But I also do reporting for the Washington Times, and I always try to get balance into a story. And I talk to just as many Democrats as I talk to Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do both. But yeah, I think the balance has gotten out of whack in journalism. You certainly see it on the nightly news. I think you do have more variance and different views and different things reported in newspapers, where you have a lot more room to report things. And because of the nature of television and news reporting, which has to be squeezed down, complicated subjects to a couple of minutes, it gets pretty shallow. And so you go for the bad news, and you go for exaggerating, perhaps, to hype the story.
What about? But you
no
mentioned
hyping of this. What's going on in the economy today? I mean, in terms of how bad things are getting. But I think you can insert some balance into that. And I think in that and in politics, that balance is being lost.
Well, and that exactly. And it's not just about whether you're reporting good news and bad news, but also in the reporting of for example, the campaigns. I mean, When I see the things that are being reported, and I would feel this way if it were completely the other way around. I would feel, and I've done that. I mean, I have been disappointed when I felt that certain reporting was being done, and it was hurting another group. You know, whether I agreed with them or not. And specifically, I'm talking about the differences in the coverage between the two major campaigns. I mean, the difference when I look at what the New York Times reports, what the broadcast networks report, what some of the other institutions are reporting, there's no balance. You use the word balance several times, Don. There's no balance. In fact, there's almost blatant imbalance with reporting of the two different campaigns. It seems to me, Don, it's worse than it's ever been. Am I wrong about that?
No, I think you're right. And one example I'll give that just recently was Senator Joe Biden, Mr. Obama's running mate, said at a campaign appearance that Obama's elected president, within 6 months, he's going to face an international crisis that is going to happen just because Obama is president and is someone who is inexperienced, is fresh, and he didn't use the word inexperienced, but someone who is new to the job. And, you know, that story just kind of got lost.
It was basically wasn't reported around, but see, here's the thing. If it were the other way around, if the imbalance were the other way around, I would still be talking about it. I want to make sure I make that point. 22, we're going to be right back with our good friend Don Lambrew. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Visiting with our good friend Don Lambrew. Don is chief political reporter for the Washington Times. And Don, now your paper, Washington Times, is considered to be a conservative, a paper with a conservative bent. Would that be an accurate statement?
Well, I think on the editorial policy, we are a conservative.
Considered to be conservative, whereas the Washington Post is more liberal.
There's no doubt about that. But you know, on our news pages and our news stories, we play it right down the center and play the news straight and without fear or favor.
And that's fair. But see, the point we're making here is there's a difference in editorial and reporting.
Absolutely.
Reporting is supposed to be balanced. It's supposed to be even-handed. It's supposed to be to cover both sides. And whereas editorializing, you get to say what you want to say. But the thing is, Don, where is our ability to trust reporting these days? When we got some institutions, and the electronic and the print medias. That you know the reporter is in the tank for one side or the other. I don't like it either way. I don't when I see certain people covering something on the right, and I know that they're being unbalanced. It upsets me. It bothers me when they do that.
Yeah, same here, and it's a perennial issue, and we go through this every 4 years, and I think it gets a lot worse.
It's getting worse, Don. So ultimately, when are we going to be able to? How do we? One of the things that concerns me, Don, is that our biggest problem, it seems to me, in the United States these days, is we don't know who to trust. We know we can't trust Wall Street anymore. We found that out. We can't trust our government. They can't regulate the organizations that they created, and to a large degree, we can't trust the media.
Well,
where are we going to find the trust for the future, Don?
Well, we'll find it in our future leaders, and there are those always who become trustworthy, and those who lose that trust, and it goes up and down like the Dow. But you know, the one bright spot, and here's Don Lambrew always looking for the silver lining and all.
Okay, Pollyanna, tell us.
It's the diversity in our media. The one thing we can say about the media is because of the revolution of the internet, where anyone can be basically a quote unquote newspaper publisher, and the revolution in cable broadcasting, you now have so much more opportunities for finding any view and any story. Anywhere, so that I think that is really all to the good, and there's now much more of a diversity of points of view in the news media. But you know, I think this will always go on. I mean, Thomas Jefferson was complaining about the news media in his So,
but you know, Don,
it's gotten worse though. There's no doubt about it.
It seems to me that it has, and let me tell you where there is trust, where there's lots of trust. Because it's the nexus of everything that we do, And that is, and that's in on Main Street. That's in small businesses and the customers that we serve.
No doubt about it.
The employees that we hire and employ, the vendors that we work with, the people, the relationships with our banks. Main Street, Don, that's where trust is. And but where there's a breakdown, Don, is sometimes those of us on Main Street don't hold others accountable for the same standards that we hold ourselves at.
Well, that's very true.
And so
true.
We've got to start doing that. Now, we got to start looking at politicians and other leaders and saying, would I do business with that person? Would I invite that person to my home? Would I trust that person with my money? We got to start making those kinds of critical judgments about the people that we choose, that we elect, and that we choose to look after us. What do you think?
Well, I bet you used to believe in the good and the wisdom generally of the American people, and you're absolutely right. You know, when they did the many polls on this, and they passed who do you trust among the various institutions of our country, the military is always right up there, and our service people, sure. And I think mainstream businesses. I remember doing a Gallup poll story many decades ago, and the one group of people in the country that was most trusted were trash collectors, because they did the job. They were always there.
Didn't complain. No complaining.
The trash always got taken away. And you know, so people are looking for just we're so pessimistic now and cynical in our society.
God bless our trash collectors. Let's hear it. I'm serious. Let's hear it for those guys. I'm so glad they finally got some kudos, Don. Don,
yes,
let's change.
They deserve it. Sure.
Let's change the subject just a little bit and talk about the campaigns. Mr. Obama is leading every poll that I've seen. Some other polls, big time.
Yeah, there's an AP poll that shows it very close, but it's out of sync with the other major polls, and of course, certainly that is the Gallup poll, and some of the others, the CNN American Opinion poll. So there's no doubt about it. And
reconcile the national polls with the battleground state polls, because the national polls really don't matter much now, do they?
It doesn't. We don't elect people by presence by popular vote. We elect them state by state, and you've got to get to 270 electoral votes. So you have to look at the polls within the state. You're absolutely right. And for some time now, Obama has been ahead in more than half a dozen battleground red Republican states. New Mexico, Nevada, Colorado, Florida, Ohio. These are
Indiana.
States that, it would take right. Well, Indiana is really tight, but yeah, and so.
Indiana shouldn't be. I mean, these are states that shouldn't even be in play for him.
And McCain can't point to a blue state, a Democratic state, where he is ahead. Yeah. So that's the reality here.
That's the indictment. That's the real issue right there. What you just said.
Doesn't look good for McCain.
We're going to talk to more about this after these messages. It's Tintel. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Hope you check them out and use them to your advantage. We built them for you to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Don Lambro is our guest. He's a senior political reporter and also a columnist for Washington Times and there in our nation's capital. And Don, the website is washingtontimes.com. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And they can find your column right there on the dot in the pages and on the .com, right?
They can.
And what are your columns about this week?
Well, this morning, my column today is about the Obama campaign and how he is going to hurt the business community and our economy with these taxes on upper-income Americans, the people who invest in our economy.
And make jobs, and create
and
jobs.
The people who run small businesses.
That's exactly right.
Who file as individual taxpayers,
like me.
Yeah,
like me.
Exactly. And maybe, you know, that's the reason why the one issue McCain is, this, and it's tightened up the race that McCain has played, was that remark by Obama that he wants to spread the wealth around.
He made the remark to Joe the Plumber.
Yeah,
Joe the Plumber,
that,
yeah.
That issue, I think, really kind of struck a chord. And I noticed the other day Obama came back and was trying to correct his remark. He said, well, what I meant was to spread around opportunity. But he said exactly what he meant.
But you don't spread opportunity by raising taxes.
You don't do that, and you don't take from one group so you can give that money to another. That's redistribution. Americans don't like that.
Yep.
You know, remember Huey Long when he was running on Share the Wealth? And and Huey Long was a demagogic, radical Democrat from Louisiana.
Yep.
They didn't care for that Share the Wealth and dividing up the pie in smaller pieces. Well, of course, that's what Obama's entire tax plan really
well,
is.
Well, see, the thing that bothers me, what you just
not
said,
create wealth.
The thing that you just said that bothers me, Don, is when you said that he corrected himself and he said he meant to share the opportunity. Well, that tells me he doesn't understand how opportunity is created in America. Opportunity is not created in America by giving people handouts. It's created by giving them an opportunity to work and earn their opportunity.
And create wealth.
Yes.
He talks about wealth in a very negative something that's got to be punished. That we want a system of taxation, low taxes, that will help people create wealth. That's the basis of a strong economy. He doesn't talk about that. He's talking about sharing the wealth. There is something that is redistribution and almost really socialistic about it, and that is at the heart and soul of his tax plan. So I think that issue is really cut into it, and if McCain's people were smart, they would make that the focus of their ads and play that quote from him to Joe the plumber. It's extraordinary that he thinks that he asked the next day after the debate, does anyone know a plumber who makes $250,000? Well, it's a lot of small little plumbing contractors whose company, little businesses earn that and much more.
That's right.
And the fact that he doesn't know that and is surprised by that shows how out of touch he really is.
Well, that's exactly right. And see, the thing about it is, Don, is that a lot of small businesses put that kind of money on their bottom line after they've worked hard and smart and sweated and risked everything to make that happen. But that money goes 100%, if they're a subchapter S corporation like I am, that money goes directly over to their personal return, and that's the level that they pay income tax on, and that's what he's planning on raising that rate on.
Absolutely.
But here's the thing. That money, that income that he's going to tax, is not cash in the person's hand. Just because the business puts $250,000 on the bottom line, that doesn't mean the owner has $250,000 worth of cash. It means his inventory grew.
That's absolutely true, and you know that.
His capital appreciated. Some capital equipment appreciated. That's what it means, because he doesn't have that money, and if he did, whatever he does have, he has to put it back in the business to grow it.
Right, and I think that his remark about that, you know, sends a signal that he doesn't think that he's saying that. I don't want people to be making this amount of money. But Americans think, gee, maybe my kids will be earning that kind of money, and they'll have their own businesses, and those little businesses become the big businesses of tomorrow.
Don, as of right now, though, it looks like the next president is going to be President Obama, and I predict he is going to have long coattails, including a 60-senator majority in the Senate.
Yeah, the prognosticators here, the forecasters, whom I trust, are saying maybe 30 losses in the House and 8-9 seats in the Senate. So it's going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah, I think so, too. Stand by. Don, we got to go. Thanks for being here. Good job today. We'll see
you
next time.
Jim.
Don Lambrow, ladies and gentlemen, with the Washington Times. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.